Well, in the center, in the central, when we get actually to the day-to-day history of the war, that was about four lectures, then, yes, there will be references to this. I just didn't think it would be too necessary to explain how the U.S. Army is organized into, you know, armies and divisions and so on. That probably should have been a third page in this lineup. I'll do that. Any other questions or comments? Let's see what we're... I don't know, I guess it maybe isn't even worth starting the strategies of the... Yeah, I don't think so. Actually I have started it by explaining the first part of this contending forces. So next time I'll begin with this concept of Dao Chan. I forget, somebody have let me see your reader. The last two is chapter 3. I think that's what you should read now is chapter 4 and... Right.
Chapter 4 begins on page 70. In particular, try to familiarize yourself with... In order to understand this, you've got to learn a little Vietnamese. And there are about 10 words, I think, on pages 74 and 75. I'll explain those next time, but I'll try to read those two pages to get a little familiar with them.
That's this one? Oh, well, that was my own... You mean this?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I actually have a couple like this that that deal with this same relationship, which we usually would use in a lecture a couple times from now, but... I'll bring that in next week. You shouldn't get worried or immersed too much in this. It isn't all that important, the details, but the most important thing is to understand that is the non-military aspect of much of this, the fact that it is not an orthodox Western organizational structure. That's the most important, because as lecture next time will show, the strategy that was used by the other side was an integral part of it. It was made possible by this organization. If they'd have just had this kind of structure, that is, northern armies and units coming down, they wouldn't have gotten as far as they did, for one thing. What they had to do was to somehow get around the advantages which the enemy had in terms of massive manpower, massive firepower, and movement, mobility. Those are the two elements of any war, any battle, and any war. The side that has the best advantage in mass and movement is going to win, normally. So that was the North Vietnamese problem, the NLF's problem, how the enemy admittedly had more men and more firepower, they had more mobility, particularly the helicopter, so how do you nullify that kind of advantage? And that's what was the strategy that was developed, which did just that. Any other questions? See you next week then. Any other business or anything that anybody, any administrative problems?
Do you know whether you'll be available tomorrow, or should I call you tomorrow morning?
Yeah, I expect I'm not. I can't remember what I've got on, but... Oh, I've got a dental appointment, that's one thing, but not very long.
Okay. Will you be around after 2?
Yeah, I'm almost sure, but I just can't remember, but
okay.
Give me a ring, but I... As far as I can remember, I will be home all afternoon.
Okay, you'll be at the archive, or...?
Yes, I'll be at the archive.
Did you need that? Is that yours?
Yeah, no.
Did you
have
that?
Yeah, that was last time. You didn't get one.
I didn't have one.
Right.
There's something about Abraham Lincoln saying that I think some of the racism, or there would be less racism in this country or something had he not been killed. In the paper,
well, I speculate, yes, that we would not gotten the racist the polarization. If you look at the reasons why race hatred developed and segregation and all that, that would not have happened had the scene not been, had you had a stronger president, a kinder president, but you understand this is pure speculation.
Right, but
you could say that.
My main question is, did you figure into it? Did you go on the premise that Lincoln was a racist?
No, just the opposite. He was a good man, and because
that's
he was
shot,
we got all these bad things happening. We got a weak president, Andrew Johnson, who was a southerner to begin with. He was the worst person we could have. That was my argument.
I know. Yeah. See, my background is such that I believe he was racist. So that's why I was trying to figure out how you came across
the South.
No.
Well, you think Lincoln was a racist?
Yeah.
How did you arrive at that?
Actually, only not by no reason to me.
But freeing the slaves, that was an act of a racist, did you say?
What was done on there? My background is not sufficient to argue
about
it.
What is your background? I mean,
No, it's just that it's what he did externally is one thing, and what he was as a human being is separate. That's all. That's when you talk about the man, that's what you were talking about.
You mean you think he did these for political reasons?
Right. I don't think he had any interest in it.
You have to sort of psychoanalyze Lincoln to do that, like I did Lenin. You know, I said the inner man was not what you think he was.
I don't know who he was. I don't know whether he's racist or not.
What I was struck by in this was how, if you read the contemporary accounts of Lincoln written at the time during the Civil War, and these people say, you know, what a wretched son of a bitch he was. Dumb. And you read this, and here you're talking about Abraham Lincoln, who I was raised to believe was practically Christ's persona. And I was, how could they, and some of you Supreme Court judges, editorial, how could they have seen him that way when I don't see him that way at all? Now, but I'm not saying I see him right.
Uh-huh.
I'm just saying they saw him one way, and I can't even understand how they could see him that way. Maybe if they came back today, they wouldn't understand how the hell I could see.
I think, actually, interestingly, in my opinion, what this boils, I mean, it is a matter of perception, because I think just about everyone is racist to some extent, no matter what. It's almost a biological problem.
Right.
So it's just a matter of perception of how do we define Lincoln.
If you want to see racism work, just live in Asia for a few years. Live in Japan, live in Vietnam, live in China.
Yeah, I'll sign that if you want me to. If we need to make an appointment with you, we just call you up.
Just call.
What's a good day usually?
Oh, almost any day. I have a dental appointment at 11 o'clock or 10:30. I can't remember. But I expect, as far as I can remember, I'll be. I can't remember having anything on tomorrow afternoon. That means I'll be in the office.
I'll call in and
Yeah, but just to be sure, you better call. But I'm pretty sure that I am.
Yes, when you talk about this side over here, do you mean that it's more hierarchical than this?
Yeah, this is more or less.
So this is easier for me. Okay. Right.
Actually, that's more successful. Well, they were pretty successful in both of them. These people were practically emasculated. That's the last two lectures. I'll give you all the perceptions.
Are you going to do a lecture on the Allied invasion of the Soviet Union after 1918? That was fascinating that you even mentioned that.
I was dying
to ask how many people in the class even knew that had happened, because most Americans don't know.
The American troops, you know, accused the Soviets of the expansion of American troops, like, you know, 1919.
Well, it was actually an Allied invasion. There were 50,000 Canadian troops.
Oh, it was a big
Siberia
operation.
And
they were backing the Reds, you know, funding them.
70,000 Japanese.
The interesting thing about it was officially under the leadership of the British. Right. And
the Japanese operated independently.
Wasn't it like under some pretense to protect supplies that had been released
from the Tsar's army? There was never any attempt made to say that it was under some pretext, because the soldiers themselves had no idea what they were doing there, and nothing was ever done to try to say to them, you're here for this reason or that reason, other than the sort of vague thing that we're here for.
Well, there was a civil war in the Soviet Union, I presume that's what. I don't know too much about. We were on the side of the whites. I don't. Right, I don't think we.
There was a particular general that we had to meet. Thank you.
The earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man on the cross of the